Amen. Amen. It's just, there's an overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit here. Even in the praise and in the worship, God is doing something that it's not doing it for me, it's not doing it for the church, it's doing it for you. You have to open your hearts and catch what God is doing. He is doing something in this church like never before. But the key is, how is your heart? We sang songs today, let Jesus be the center. Is Jesus the center of your heart this morning? God has been overwhelming me this week with righteousness. Walk right before me. Right through the week. As I walk, as I go, everything that God was bombarding me was righteousness, 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 righteousness. This week, I looked at my life for 30 years, serving God. About 30-something years ago, I gave my life to Jesus. I gave my life because I was dying and God saved me. I was dying a death that even the doctors don't even know what was going on in my life. But it came to a point where I myself yelled to God. I said to God, if you are real, save me and I will heal you. And I will serve you. God, to cut the story short, saved me. I was dying and God took me from my place of death and catapulted me to life. For 30-something years, I've been serving God. This week, I've never heard about righteousness. This is how the Holy Spirit has been speaking to my life about righteousness. I had to repent this week. Something happened in my life at about 2 a.m. in the morning. This whole side of me died. I don't know what happened. It just couldn't move and it just was in pain. I was in pain that I cried. I never cry. I'm a man. I don't cry, but this pain made me cry. I yelled out to God. It was so painful that I thought that was it. My heart is going to stop and I was going to die. In the midst of my pain, God spoke to me about righteousness. Even in the midst of my pain, it was righteousness. Even in the midst of when I was actually whole of the week, he was talking to me about righteousness. And I said, God, what is this righteousness you're talking to me about? Whole of these past few weeks, we've heard from this pulpit, righteousness, righteousness. I had to go through this week with God. Because when I was sitting there while they were preaching, I wasn't really listening. God had to deal with me himself. I repented. I said to the Lord, Lord Jesus, after he showed me scriptures after scriptures, going into the word of God, he showed me that righteousness, right living, righteousness is the way that you will enter the kingdom of heaven. I repented this week for 30 years of serving God unrighteously. There is silence in the house because most of you are doing it. I said to the Lord, I repent because your word is so clear. It's so clear. I will take us to a few stories in the Bible. I'll go right to the beginning, to where all this righteousness started. Right in the garden. Hallelujah. As we go into Jesus, Jesus. There's an anointing in the house. In John 5, I'll read these scriptures. It will all come into, in John 5, 1 to 5. You know, it's a story about this man that was lying in the pool of Bethesda for 30-something years. And he couldn't, every time the water was stirred, he couldn't get there because somebody was always in front of him. So when Jesus appeared to him, he said to him, do you want to be healed? You know the answer. If Jesus came to me and said, do you want to be healed? I said, yes, Jesus. What he said was this, I have been lying here for 30 years. Jesus didn't ask about how long he was lying in there. Hallelujah. But Jesus healed him that day. He said, pick up your bed. He picked up his bed and he started walking away from that place. But this is what Jesus said when he met him later. He said, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Hallelujah. That gives me the story that he was lying there because of sin. Hallelujah. In John 8, you know the famous story about that lady, the prostitute lady that was put in front of Jesus, being condemned by the Jewish people, by the Pharisees and all the teachers of law. The Bible says, Jesus said like this, after everybody had gone, because Jesus said like this, if you don't sin, throw the first stone. There was a lot of stones thrown that day, but downwards. Because everybody that was standing there sinned. Hallelujah. Then Jesus asked her, did they condemn you? The lady said, no. Then Jesus said, I don't either. But don't sin anymore. Take a hold of those two verses. There's more verses in the Bible about not sinning. But I'm going to take us to Genesis 3:15. In verse 21, there was the first killing that God did because of the fall. Blood had to take place. Death had to take place so that man's righteousness or right standing before God at that time had to be done in blood. The Bible says in Genesis 3, verse 21, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin. God had to kill an animal so that it can use the skin of that animal to cover their sinfulness so that they can see, so that God can see through the blood. So right through the generations, right through, as it came to Moses, animals were used. Blood was used. It was just death after death after death after death of animals. So that we can be sin righteous before God. If I sin in a certain way, I got to bring some certain animal to God. And that animal had to be killed. And the blood sprinkled into the mercy seat. And the other half, or maybe, burnt as an incense offering to God. And that was how God was accepting them until the time Jesus came. The one and only sacrifice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exodus 28 verse 39, it says like this. You shall skillfully weave the tunic of fine linen thread. You shall make the turban of fine linen. You shall make the sash of woven work. This was God telling Moses of the garments that was made for the priests, Aaron, his brother. And God told them, make it out of tunic of fine linen. And what he made was the undergarments of Aaron. It was made out of this fine tunic linen that God would even see the tunic. Because he had to wash himself and wear those things and wear the things that he had to wear as a priest so that he can hide his unrighteousness. This thing about righteousness before God is so important that he had to lose his son in heaven. Hello. In Leviticus 16, 1, verse 1 to 4, it says like this. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord, they died. Oh, Jesus, help us. Help us this morning. The two sons of Aaron that were also in the lineage of as priests, they died because they offered profanity before God. They were, the priests were supposed to represent the people of Israel, but they themselves were unrighteous before God. And God killed them. Because of unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm saying here is this, whatever that is happening here in the time of Moses is the shadow of what Jesus has done to in the time 2018 years ago when he died on the cross. Amen. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And this is what he said. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place, inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. He says, don't come at any time. He comes in, come at the time that I want you to be there. Amen. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come in the holy place with the blood of a young bull. Oh, death has to happen for righteousness to take place. Blood has to be spilled so that God could even receive the priests. So the way he would come to God was there had to be a bull that had to be brought and killed before him. God is really serious about our right standing and our right walking before him. Anything that didn't walk righteously before God during the times of the law were killed. Hallelujah. But thank Jesus. I thank Jesus. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter 1:16, he says like this: "Be holy, for I am holy." Hallelujah. Be holy, for I am holy. Hallelujah. And there are scriptures right through the Bible speaking about our righteousness, that righteousness before God. Isaiah 42 verse 6, "I, the Lord, have called you to righteousness." Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:16, "Be holy, for I am holy." If he said, "Be holy, for I am holy," that means you can be holy. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous they run into and they are safe." Amen. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 10:24, "The desires of the righteous shall be granted." In other words, church, if we walk righteously before God, every prayer that we pray about, everything that we ask of God, because it's what he is. He is our righteousness. Amen. Amen. Now, in the garden, when Adam and Eve fell, this is what happened. They lost their right standing before God. And they were banished for that. They lost their right standing. And Jesus, our righteousness, had to come and restore. Amen? In the garden, when it was made, it was perfect for them. They lived in the garden. God made everything. And he said, "Eat out of everything that is here, except of one tree that sits in the middle. The tree of right and wrong. The tree of good and evil." Amen. But there was another tree that was there also, which was called the tree of life. Satan came, tempted, and they ate from the tree. And they lost their right standing before God. Because the Bible says, now they know. God says, now they are like us. They know right and wrong. Let's take them away from the garden, or they will also eat of the tree of life. Then there will be a problem forever. So I might as well take them away out of it, so that I can have a plan that I've already have, that is in Genesis 3 verse 15. That the very woman that you deceived, that he will become an enmity to you, that he will bruise you. Hallelujah. God had a plan. And I thank God that when, you know, like Pastor Ben shared, that whatever God spoke, it was law. He says, "Don't eat of this tree or lest you will die." Why did they die completely? According to his word of law. This is what it is. Because he loved his creation so much that he says, "I will give you another chance. I will kill an animal instead of you. I will cover you with the skin of this animal. And whilst you are there, I will come," as it says in Genesis 3, verse 15. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, we just give you all the glory. Hallelujah. In Psalms 146, verse 8. It says like this, that the Lord loves the righteous. Hallelujah. Psalm 37:29, the righteous shall inherit the the Lord and dwell therein forever. He, in 1 John 3:7, he who practices righteousness is righteous.
Amen.
Amen. I am asking the question is this: God, what is this righteousness that you have given us? Hallelujah. What is this righteousness that you have given us that was lost in the garden? Can I have three people again? We will continue to have three of those people. Body, spirit, and soul. Come on, boys, come. Body, this is the body here. This is the soul, and this is the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. During the fall, the spirit man was crushed. The righteousness of God that was with the spirit man was no longer. He died. Then the soul and the body took over. The soul and the body. Hallelujah. And I was asking God, Lord Jesus, what is this righteousness? And the Bible says like this in Romans. Romans 4, verse 22. Hallelujah. 22, 23, 24, and 25. It says like this. It was talking about Abraham's faith. That because of Abraham's faith, that righteousness was imputed into him. Okay. What is imputed means? It was because of Abraham's obedience before God that righteousness was imputed into him. Okay. And in verse 22, and it says like this, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. So because of Abraham's obedience, even though he was 100 years old, even though that at that stage of life that, you know, things don't happen, but he still believed God. Amen. Because of his faith in God, that it was imputed into him righteousness. In Romans 4, verse 22, it says like this, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. And in verse 23, and it says like this, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But also for us also. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus on the Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Hallelujah. This is imputation. Imputation means transit vicariously from one state to another. Or exchange places, or come from the outside to the inside. Can I have somebody else? Now, this is imputation. This is God, the Holy Spirit, which is also known the Spirit of Christ. You know, in Galatians 2, it says like this, that it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ lives in me. He is going to walk in there, and he's going to stand beside the Spirit, man. Stand side by side with him. Now look now. Isn't that a very familiar picture? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hallelujah. That whilst they were in the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when the king looked, he said, there is another one. standing in the midst of them. Hallelujah. There is somebody else. How come they are not dead? Because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, Jesus, walked into this life. And this is who you are. Righteousness have been imputed into you. This is who you are. And the devil wants to do this. Hide this. He wants to let you know that Jesus does not live in you. Every time you stand up and sing that song. What's the song? Your song. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ lives. That's the imputation that God has done to you. It's the righteousness. Now, since Jesus is there, since holiness of God, since heaven has been brought down and is now living in you, what can sin do? Nothing. It cannot touch you because the King of Kings is in there. The Lord of Lords is in there. Righteousness is in there. Hallelujah. So every temptation that will come to him, Jesus will say to him, sorry. You know, this week, it's never been so clear to me that as I repented before God, that as temptation started to come and knock on my door, it was just like this single person that came and confronted me and says, this is what I want you to do. You know, the righteousness in me said to him, see you later. It was that powerful. It was because Jesus is now being imputed in your lives. And that is who you are when you are born again. Now there is a big lie that have been preached from pulpits. You guys stay there, please. And that is, it's okay to sin. You will sometimes, you know, you fall. You get up again, you repent, you fall. The Bible is clear that anyone who sins is not of God. So, okay, you guys stand there. I'll take us to Scripture. I'll take us to Scripture. Hallelujah. Is this good? Are you understanding this? Yes. Will you take it home with you? Yes. That you are the righteousness of God? Yes. That Jesus is now living in you? It's just not a song? Yes. Hallelujah. Then, hallelujah. I thank God that by next week, you'll be reaching out to other people, that there you'll be bringing somebody else to come and get saved. Hallelujah. Woo! Okay, that's what imputation means. Stay there, guys. It's in Galatians 2:20. It says like this, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ lives in me. Okay, in James 1:12-16. Can we have it up on the screen, please? James 1, 12 to 16. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Let no one say that he is tempted. I'm tempted, this is what, that he is tempted, that I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Who has been tempting you? Sometimes you blame God for it. Sometimes you say, oh, I think it's for my growth that I need to fall through this. The devil is a liar. The devil has been a liar from the start. And is continuing to lie now. And will continue to lie. Hallelujah. You cannot even tempt God. And God says, don't even say that I tempt you. Because I cannot. Now listen. Now it falls back to these two here. Verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. Okay. Let's come back to here. When it is your own desires, the flesh and this, he is not in the picture anymore. Because the Bible says that God cannot be tempted with even sin. So if we say, if I say, this is the lie that I believed for a long time. If I say, oh, it's okay that I'll just fall because I learned that, maybe I will witness to somebody about the situation that I just gone through. Yes. You see, when all those things God was talking about, he was talking about when you came to Christ, that the devil will start throwing things at you. Because you're what? You were babes, young ones. What happened to young ones? We fathers and mothers, it's a full-time care. Or otherwise they will get hurt. But when we become an adult, like this young man here, he no longer needs his parents. He's running the race of life. There is nowhere in the Bible where it says that as you grow big, that this, yeah, I got to do this, I got to do this so I can. No, nowhere. When Paul was talking about it, he was talking about young Christians growing up. That they get tempted, that they will fall sometimes. You know, a child, when a child is starting to walk, he'll stumble. He'll stand up again. He'll stumble. You let it go. You as a parent, you'll be watching. But after a while, one of those standing up, he starts walking and never stumbles again. That is because he's learned how to walk. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit. So that you will not fulfill the lusts of these two here. So it is possible. It is possible to be sinless every day. The Bible says like this. Live your day as if it's your last. Every day as if it's your last. That means don't worry about tomorrow. He's talking about your spiritual life. Take care of the one that is there. That is your heart. That means when you wake in the morning, oh Lord, I will worship you today. If there's something intended to come into my heart right now, I will say no. Because God is my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's the one that says to me, this is what I got to do. He's asking you from the time you wake till the time you sleep. Again, take care of that heart. He says, leave it as if it's your last. That means make sure that this to here never gets to here. Make sure that this one here, Jesus in, does not leave because you're not tempted no more. Yes, you can be tempted, but you have the power through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit. When you look at it, it's capital Spirit. That means walk in the Holy Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, daily you will be walking in the flesh. Is it true? Yes. Amen. Thank you, guys. Let's give them a clap offering. We've learned a few things today, haven't we? We've learned that without temptations, we cannot say that it is God tempting us. It is because of our own desires. So when our own desires do arrive, you have the power to say no through the Holy Spirit. See, that's what imputation means. Imputation means it's out of your control anymore. The Holy Spirit comes and resides with somebody else. It's not you. So the moment you receive Christ, again, when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and resides. Amen? So it is important today, church, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, then this morning would be an opportunity. Amen? Amen. Ask and you will receive. Ask Him and He will baptize you this morning. I think many of us would say today, God, I repent. I repent of my past because I thought I was, it's okay to sin every day. It's okay to sin and learn from it. Yes, you can learn from it. But it's only when you're a babe that you are still walking and you're learning how to walk. But when you start to become an adult, you have taken responsibility of your walk. Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says, be righteous, for I am righteous. Be holy, for I am holy. If He says that, then you can. You can. I want you to say this morning to you that the song that I have been singing, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ now lives in me. Mean it. Not just lyrics. Jesus is now residing in you. Amen. Hallelujah. I've cut all my sermons short but praise the name of Jesus. But the Bible says like this, because of his own desires and enticed. Enticed means you are lured, you are attracted to, you are tempted by being offered with pleasure. Isn't that a common thing that we're? Our mates come to me, just have a drink, it's okay. Let's go to the pub, it's all right. Let's have a few beers, it's okay. That's what you call enticed. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and are enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. It starts one by one. If someone throws something at you, like a dart, as it says like this in Ephesians, he will throw darts at you. Hey, it's okay to have a drink. It'll start off as a baby, but then one day you'll give birth to it. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, and when it's full grown, when that sin is full grown, it brings forth death. Amen. So I'm going to ask the musicians to come up. Hallelujah. So we've learned today that we cannot say that God tempts us. We are tempted by our own desires. And because of that, we're enticed. Hallelujah. The Bible says like this, that walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, Walk in the Spirit that you will not fulfill the lusts of this flesh. Amen. So I pray that right through all this past few weeks, and I know that, Brother Tim, are you preaching tonight? No service tonight. Oh, there's no service tonight. Maybe next week. That they might be still talking about righteousness. It's so important that I think it's a caution. You know, in Psalms it says, I think, Selah. You know, Selah. Selah means take note. I think a service that has got a few services of righteousness, I think we should start to take note. Grab your Bibles and say, what is righteousness? And I pray that God will start to maul your spirits today, that you don't even sleep tonight, that he starts to hound you with righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to be right standing before God. Because the righteousness himself left heaven so that you can have your righteousness. Amen? Amen. If I'm given an opportunity again, I'll totally share this thing, but we are running out of time right now. But I believe with what I've shared this morning, eh? Did anybody get it? Only a few. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Then go, church, and live righteously. Amen? If you need prayer, as we stand up, as the worship goes, if you need prayer about anything, especially if you say, Lord Jesus, I repented this week. I totally repented before God. I said to the Lord, Lord, forgive me. That I've been serving you for the past 30-something years. But in between, I was sinning also. But now I've narrowed down my life to, I'm going to live as if that day, in one day, that is like my last. So in other words, you're not worried about tomorrow. You're worried about the time you're conscious, from the time you wake up till the time you sleep again. That's the only corridor that God has given you to watch. Watch every hour. How is your heart? How is your heart before God? Amen. Amen. Why don't we all stand?